Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me as always is my very own Annie and Paul, Nate.
God, I love you.
Aw.
I'm looking right at you, too.
I know, it was eye contact. And Lisa.
I am not this podcast's number one fan.
Aww. We can't be a fan of your own podcast.
You can't. I feel like
Mitch is this podcast.
It's like can't hardly wait. You can't wear the t-shirt of your own band while you're playing on stage. Same thing.
It's
with
too
the
meta,
podcast.
Huh?
Exactly. That's
fair. No, yeah, you can't do that.
We're so modest.
Well, yeah,
everyone notice how modest we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, where each week we take a look at a different horror movie and debate a horror-related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who is usually not someone we would call a horror fan.
Don't say it.
Don't say what?
Don't even say it.
Don't say what?
Look, we had a guest lined up, and it's a snowstorm in North Dallas, and they
why would these
dumb-dums
be driving in a blizzard?
I don't know, but they're missing. So, Lisa, it's just you again.
Well, to be fair, in Texas, they only put sand on the roads instead of ice, so I feel like accidents are more likely here.
You mean salt?
Yeah, they put sand on the roads here instead of salt.
You said sand instead of ice.
Whatever.
And I was like, Nate,
that's the whole point. Is there ice on the road?
They don't know what they're doing. No, but yeah, they use sand here instead of salt on the ice. And there's a lot of accidents every time it gets icy here.
Salt is a precious commodity.
Yeah, it's like a whole ocean right next
but
to us.
But we have so many beaches near us, they just go scoop up the sand.
That's a loose translation
sand,
of beach.
We use sandbags to stop flooding, so they must work on ice, right? I mean, that's just the logic.
It's better than nothing, in theory.
In theory.
In theory.
In theory.
Yeah, so this week, if you couldn't tell, we will be working on the newest draft of our, revisionist book as we talk about Misery, starring Kathy Bates and others. You'll get into
and others?
She's the only one that won
Kathy
an Oscar
Bates
for it.
And the rest.
And James Gunn. Oh, no, James Gunn. Yeah, James Gunn.
So the reason we're doing this movie is because Castle Rock Season 2 came out last year, and Lisa had not seen Misery, so she wanted to see Misery first.
Yep.
Then watch Castle Rock Season 2. I'm assuming future episode at some point.
Yeah, I think we'll have to give the people what they want, which is Season 2 of Castle Rock.
Yes, it's so much better than Season 1.
Yes, we've refrained from seeing it. Have you started watching it, or did you watch
yes,
it?
Yes, I watched it.
Okay, so just we won't get into details, but overall, good, bad, your general thought?
It's better than the first season.
I don't know if that's ringing endorsement
I'm just
or
saying,
not.
Better than the first season.
I mean, yeah, I feel like she could pull off a good Annie Wilkes. So
yeah, a lot of crazy eyes. Have you guys ever seen One Tree Hill?
No. Nate, you are the most varied person I've ever met.
I was going to use a One Tree Hill reference. I won't. Let's just say.
Well, one of our listeners have heard.
Okay,
of One
fine.
Tree Hill.
So Peyton from One Tree Hill. You know how Kristen Stewart would bite her lip all the time?
Oh, yeah. God.
In Twilight, right?
Yes.
This actress Hillary Burton in One Tree Hill would just do crazy eyes. Like, her eyes will get real big in certain, like, situations. Lisa's doing it right now. And in Season 2, Castle Rock, it's like that, but, like, a good acting version all the time.
Nice.
Like, crazy eyes, but in a very well-executed way instead of, like, what are you doing with your eyes?
Right.
This walks the line perfectly.
Instead of, like, Ricky Bobby, I don't know what to
exactly.
do with my
hands. Yes, exactly. And One Tree Hill reference. There you go.
There you go.
Gotta give the people what they want. One Tree Hill references. But anyway, yeah, so that's why we're doing it. So, Misery, Lisa, you had not seen this before, correct?
No, I had not.
Okay. No quotes, no nothing. Went in cold.
No, I mean, the problem with Misery is it's so old that you know half of what's going to happen. Like, I knew she was his number one fan to the point where she's like his psycho number one fan. And you can't not get spoiled on the sledgehammer scene.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's so iconic and classic that...
It's, yeah, I mean, if someone wins an Oscar for their performance, it's kind of hard to not know what happened or what's going on.
But I will say that her performance lives up to the hype.
Okay.
Like halfway through the movie, I told Mitch, I was like, she was nominated for an award for this, right? And he's like, yeah, she won. She's like,
yeah,
one of the rare few that won for a horror movie, but she deserved it. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I love Kathy Bates regardless before seeing this, but she did such an amazing job. Yep. She's psycho.
Yeah.
She did a really good job.
All right.
James Caan did a really good job too.
Lisa is gushing at this horror movie in the beginning. What do we do with this?
No, I'm gushing. I don't know what to do with my gushing hands. At Kathy Bates. I don't know that I'm gushing at the movie
well,
itself.
She's in the movie. This yeah. is one of the more positive
I've
we've
always
ever had.
Her.
This is one of the more positive openings we've ever had from
oh,
Lisa.
Oh, sure.
Wow. I saw her live in New York. I saw her on stage.
Misery, the stage play?
Well, so...
Don't hobble me.
So Stephen King was doing a reading with J.K. Rowling. And so I went to see J.K. Rowling, and I got to see Stephen King, which is really cool. And Kathy Bates introduced Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
what,
really cool.
what was the event?
They were doing a charity reading at Radio City Music Hall. Them two and Irwin, who wrote Cider House Rules.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So it was really cool.
Nice.
Really cool.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Well, all right. So yeah, we've...
So I've seen Stephen King. You two fools haven't. So
well,
what do you say about that?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, hun.
Stevie and I, you know.
The unsuspecting victim saw the
back.
Horror master.
Yeah, oh. All right. We're just getting... Are we done?
Ha.
Is the episode over?
I think the podcast is over.
Get bodied, you know? I mean...
is the podcast over? No. Nice try. No.
I don't know. For as many Stephen King stuff we've done, I haven't brought that story up.
There are so many Stephen Kings.
I know.
This is like our 10th Stephen King film, I think.
Yeah, next one will be Tammy and the T-Rex.
That's not a Stephen King.
This is Steven Spielberg.
That's like a Stervin King.
Oh, yeah, Stephen King.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, look, before we get into, clearly what we have plenty to discuss with this movie.
No, I think we've just discussed it enough.
Let's get in, either way, let's get into the debate question.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam to smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
So look, everyone has their like celebrity crush or their like, you know, their biggest idol. Someone that... You worship all of their works. They can't do no wrong.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi. I'm just kidding.
Talk about crazy eyes.
Yeah. Who's the guy in the Ice Cream Man?
Clint Howard.
Clint Howard. You know, there's always someone who I guess the question really is, who would you go all Annie Wilkes for? Like maybe not so much the breaking the ankles, but like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in your mind, you're like, they would like me, right? Right? We could hang out for a little bit.
We could be friends.
I just give them a typewriter, see what happens.
Like, we can start from the view that you're not like a psycho person and going to trap them there forever.
Okay.
Just if you had to nurse someone back to health and it just happened to be like your number, who's that person that you're like, oh, this is my chance meeting. I don't know.
All right, Mitchell, who would you nurse back to health?
Yeah, who's your nurse?
Oh, for me?
Which wrestler are we talking about here?
No, not a wrestler.
You say that, but it's just thinking.
Nah, you know, you
like Dwayne Johnson would really love my screenplay bit.
No, Dwayne Johnson, I don't think he can get broken. I think he's I think if he went through that car wreck, he would just walk out like nothing. I mean,
I don't think that's how the human body works. But
well, I don't.
Oh, it's a reverse Kevin Hart? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Man, you know,
do they have to be alive?
I mean, Depends how bad that car wreck was. Could it be a person living or dead? Is essentially what I'm saying. That's fine. That's
okay.
fine.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So if we're saying dead, like previous, Edgar Allan Poe. Right, like,
so you're following his carriage with your carriage. Oh, yeah. You see him go down a cliff. You save him. Mm-hmm. He still gets consumption and dies.
I feel like this is a cop out. I want someone who's alive.
Yeah, we gotta do alive now.
Well,
that was so lame that now we have
how
to.
How is that lame? That's a good one. I love Edgar Allan Poe. You can't.
How about Edgar Allan? No, next one.
See, Lisa wants me to say something that's gonna get me in trouble. That's,
no, I just want to know what Hewitt. You're gonna say.
It's Jennifer Love
it's
Hewitt.
Not just Jennifer it. Love Hewitt.
Just say it.
5 or 6 years ago, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. There's a time box on that one.
Sure, Shane Elizabeth, whatever.
No, you're the Shannon Elizabeth or that one YouTube follower of ours.
Sure. Okay, Mitch, you are procrastinating.
I'm sorry.
What is your person here? Who are you fanning out
on?
Oh,
my God. Who am I?
To a maybe too creepy level. It could get there.
Who am I fanning out? It's a tough question. I'm trying to actually think if there's someone.
Well, Lisa,
that I
think you have one.
Yeah, at least I won't go with you. I give you my dead person.
I think you just mentioned her.
Well, I think you guys are thinking the obvious. I mean, J.K. Rowling, but I can't see me like spending like days on end with her.
It's just who would you be the closest? Who like in your mind? You're like, yeah, you know, if I found her on the side of the road, you would hang out for a bit, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly a fan of hers.
Are there certain celebrities you feel like you could spend days with and not others?
I was trying to think because there was someone the other day, an actress, and she's really funny. And I was like, she has a similar sense of humor to me. But now my mind is going blank. It'd probably be a comedian only because I love comedians.
So you just see any comedian anywhere. You're like, ooh, I'm going to scoop that person.
No,
you gotta have
not
a favorite.
Any comedian.
You got to have a favorite of some kind here.
I don't know. I got to think about it. There's a lot of really funny people out there. It'd probably be a lady comedian, though. There's
it'd
a
be
lot
Wanda
of really
Sykes.
Funny ladies. Oh, my gosh. Wanda would crack me up.
She's being like, what the hell gave me out of this damn bed?
You're laughing so hard that then she can sneak up on you with the typewriter.
I'm telling
no
you,
problem.
Wanda would crack me up. She's hilarious.
That would be awesome, actually.
Nate, okay, what about you? Who do you...
You know, this is kind of... So I, when we were at Fantastic Fest, I wanted to go up to Robert Eggers, the director, but yeah. I did not because
I can't
not
believe
a creepy,
you chickened out.
I'm not a creepy person like that.
Why is that creepy? Just to say, hey, I love your movies. This, okay, have a nice night.
This sounds a little cliche, but man, I feel like everyone feels like I could hang out with Keanu Reeves.
Oh man, Keanu. Yeah.
But for me, it would be like Keanu Reeves about 15 years ago.
Really? I think Keanu
like
now is really cool.
Like Matrix Keanu Reeves. I would be one to hang out.
I don't know. I feel like Keanu Reeves.
Keanu now is pretty chill.
Keanu anytime was probably cool
yeah,
to hang
Keanu
out with.
Keanu anytime is just
he
great.
He seems very chill.
I'm surprised you didn't go Nick Cage.
No, why? That sounds terrifying.
Could you imagine?
He ends up if it's Nick Cage, he ends up kidnapping me. I think it would
be bad.
It'd be a reverse kidnap.
He would be wanting you to break his ankles. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Just yelling at you.
Yeah, it's like... dude, I feel like somehow I would end up in a bad scenario after kidnapping him. So I no, that's a no for sure. Yeah, I would say Keanu Reeves for sure. I've loved him in so many movies, Constantine, all the Matrixes.
That's
always be my maybe. He was fantastic in last year.
Oh man, I guess still got to show Mitch the scenes he was in.
He's great.
It was so good.
He's so good. John Wick, obviously. I mean everything. Speed. You're
spectacular.
Go from everything. He's so good. He would be great. So now I'm thinking more about it, which is so.
Switching to Keanu myself.
I know, right?
Yeah, that would be fun.
We're just gonna three-way this.
So if anyone
we're gonna three-way kidnap Keanu Reeves.
Seriously
now?
Though, I'm putting this out there in the universe. If anyone has like 6 degrees to Keanu and can get him on this podcast, we would be forever grateful.
Yeah,
that would be the best episode. Oh my gosh.
Would it be? I feel like it would just be us three gushing a Keanu and
no,
not really.
No. I'd be asking him the tough
I feel
questions.
Like
would
we
you
would
made,
have a conversation.
Why was
with
Knock
him?
Knock so terrible?
I don't know.
I really loved your character in The Bad Batch.
Based on Please, the evidence I saw at Fantastic Fest, I don't know that you would be doing that.
Well, if it's on our podcast, we have a little bit of better scenario there.
Okay.
He wouldn't feel so awkward.
Yes.
Now, person that's no longer with us, who's that going to be?
person who's no longer with us.
You thought you said somebody who wasn't alive anymore.
Oh, Christopher Lee.
Oh, that's a good one for me.
I love Christopher Lee. The way from when he was in, I mean, the 1960s TV show, The Avengers, is one of my favorite spy TV shows. He was in a few episodes. He was a cybernaut. No one gets that reference. Yeah, those are too late. He was Frankenstein. He was the mummy. He was Dracula. He was Francisco Scaramanga in The Man with the Golden Gun. Many good horror films in the Hammer film
He's
days.
The evil scientist in Gremlins 2. The new Batman.
Yes, he is.
Classic.
It would be a cross between Vincent Price or Christopher Lee.
Understand why Vincent Price is somehow a better answer than Edgar Allan Poe.
Because you could have got him. He had a car. This scenario makes way more sense. In 1990, he could have been driving a car and Kathy Bates could have got him. Not Edgar Allan Poe.
Riding his horse and he fell off.
What if the plane carrying Edgar Allan Poe's hologram crashed and then you happened to be there? Maybe that. So Tupac's hologram. You could maybe do that with Tupac's hologram.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he's too dead is what you're telling me.
Yes. He's too dead. He's too dead.
All right, Mitch.
Obviously my mind would be a musician. It would absolutely be Chino Marino. That is the guy.
I could see you hanging out with
Deftones,
Chino.
Whenever Deftones comes around, doesn't matter. I always go. Mm-hmm.
Change in the house of you can never leave this house.
I would attempt to skateboard with him so I could look cool. And
you would bust your own ankles.
I'd break my own ankles.
And then you say pop, shove it. That would be so good.
Yeah.
Wow. Deftones guy.
I love me some Chino. So yeah, that would.
Yeah, that is really on brand for you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to talk to him.
I would not. I'd want to show him some of the stuff and be like, would you want to lay some vocals down?
You want some of the stuff I'm working on? You have like one of those like four track recorder. it's like old answering machine quality, like tape, and you're just playing it out loud.
No, he's got
him.
The thing that Kevin McAllister had?
The talk boy.
That would be awesome.
Look, here's the thing. I've got the studio and I figure, hey.
Yeah. That would be great. Okay.
Well
done, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did you give someone for who's no longer with us?
I can't remember who I'm thinking of. It'll come to me. When I female shout comedian. Out a random
There's
word,
so many.
Random person in the middle of the podcast, you'll know.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Amy Poehler.
Oh, she's funny too. Hang out with her and Tina Fey. Oh my God.
Yeah, okay, you got to do a 2-for-1 kidnapping.
It would be hilarious.
Together. I'm sure you could.
You get them right before next year's Golden Globes.
There you go.
Boom, they're together, riding together in a limo. You're the limo driver. You take them to a place.
Well, what about people who aren't here anymore? Did you give us someone that?
No. Someone who's not with us anymore. I don't know. That's a hard one. I'd have to think about it.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Lady Bird Johnson.
I would kidnap Eleanor
Roosevelt.
Oh,
I like Lady Bird. She went to UT.
That's exactly.
What does that mean? There was a clock killer there too. You want to hang out with that?
Well, he didn't go there, did he?
He didn't go to the school.
I know, but it was literally there. Oh, he went there briefly.
Anyway, on that note,
if you have someone that you are their number one fan that's different than the people we suggested, let us know at texaspodcastmasker@gmail.com.
If you are our number one fan, let us know.
Or don't.
Yeah. Only Nate's number one fantasy.
Oh, wait, what?
let us know at on Twitter at TXPodMasker, Texas Podcast Masker, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. And as always, leave a review. And if you like what we're hearing, if you don't, you know, I don't know, keep it to yourself, I guess, you know.
Wow. That sounded threatening.
I thought you were gonna end up like Chino. All right, well, now we're all gonna have restraining orders put up against us now, so this is good.
Yeah.
With that said, I think it's time. Let's get into this week's movie of the week. Misery.
almost died. You have a compound fracture of the tibia in both legs, and the fibula in the right leg is fractured too. And as soon as the roads open, I'll take you to a hospital. In the meantime, you've got a lot of recovering to do.
There is nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
My name is Annie Wilkes.
I think one of my clients, Paul Sheldon, might be in some kind of trouble.
You mean Paul Sheldon, the writer?
Well, everybody sure likes those misery books.
They had it at the store, Paul.
They said he checked out last Tuesday. Isn't that a little strange?
I guess it was kind of a miracle you finding me.
In a way, I was following you.
You were following me?
Oh, Paul, I've read everything of yours, but the misery novels. You must be a good man. You could never have created such a wondrous, loving creature as Misery Chastain.
Very kind.
The presumption must now be that Paul Sheldon is dead.
You dirty bird. How could you?
Misery Chastain cannot be dead.
Misery spirit is still alive.
I don't want her spirit! I want her! And you murdered her!
You don't think he's dead, do you?
And don't even think about anybody coming for you, because I never called them. Nobody knows you're here. And you better hope nothing happens to me. Because if I die, you die. I know you've been out. Is this what you're looking for? Eventually, you'll come to accept the idea of being here.
Annie, whatever you think I'm not doing, please don't do it. Annie, for God's...
Shh, darling. Trust me.
God's sake.
It's for the best. God, I love you.
You're my number one fan, mate.
I think the person is supposed to tell you, not you tell the person.
God damn it.
I feel like you're doing this wrong. Day.
You mean you're not my number one fan?
You're my numero uno. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you... Yikes.
I don't speak the Spanish.
You love me. And then just walk away. That's the strategy.
That's how you do it, right?
Yes.
You
know, just yikes.
You know, it's all about being a confident Nate. You know, when you find someone that you have a crush on, you're like, hey, you like me, and then they may just be so shocked that they're like, yeah.
I mean, Lisa's here.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's essentially
how you and Lisa got together.
That's essentially what it was. Mitch came up and said, "You like me," and I was like, "Okay,
yeah, okay."
No, done. And you know what? You know when someone said, "Do you like me?" and they have like a yes, no checkbox.
Yeah,
but he just checked yes and just gave it to you. That would be great.
It's already pre-filled out.
Exactly.
For your convenience.
Tomorrow at 7, be in front of your apartment. Also, I know where you live before you even told me. Just real get all the information out there right away.
Yeah. All right. Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, some misery.
This is great to learn about this courtship that happened. Okay. This is before we were good friends. So I don't know all this information here.
Can't debate its efficacy. So Lisa, as our unsuspecting victim, how do you describe what this movie is about? What's the elevator pitch for it?
Kathy Bates in her Oscar-nominated and winner role as Annie Wilkes just so happens to have her favorite author in the world crash right by her house. And so she brings him to her house to nurse him back to health. Mm. For better or worse. Till death,
mostly worse.
Do they part?
Mostly worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think it depends on your... who you are in the situation, on the better or worse.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Nate, what can you tell us about Misery?
I'm kind of shocked. You're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. It was. So Misery came out November 30th, 1990. This is available to stream on Showtime if you have Showtime. I don't, so I rented it.
Yeah, holy
you guys
shit.
Are all better than me. Wow. I don't have Showtime.
Holy shit, this is 30 years old. This year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you still got like, 10 months. But
so
You're so old, Mitch.
I am.
Runtime 107 minutes. Taglines. This Christmas, there will be ... misery. One of the worst taglines I've ever heard in my life.
Not that good. Not
the great. Tide has come. Not great.
Why didn't they say the storm has come?
These are great
questions. What the hell does tide have to do with anything?
I don't know. They paid for product placement inside a tagline. I have no clue. Paul Sheldon used to write for a living. Now he's writing to stay alive. There we go.
That's a good one.
That's a tagline. So Paul Sheldon wrote only one of the three taglines. 7.8 on IMDb. 7.8. This is one of the highest ranked movies on that platform that we've ever done. Mm-hmm. Box office was $61.3 million for a $20 million budget. Wow. So it did well. And Kathy Bates in 1991 became the first woman to win an Oscar for best actress in a horror movie for her role.
Good for her.
Yeah. So there you go. The director of this movie is one of my favorite directors of all time, Rob Reiner. He started out as Meathead in All in the Family in the 70s.
Oh, that's Rob Reiner?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's way skinnier.
That's crazy.
Then he did one of my all-time top movies, Spinal Tap. Oh, yeah. Which is so great.
Because you like to crank everything up to 11?
Yes. This is Spinal Tap. Stand By Me, another Stephen King adaptation. And the reason that he got Misery is because he liked Stevie King liked how Rob Reiner did Stand By Me. Mm. Stand By Me is amazing. Highly recommend watching that movie also. He did Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men. Remember North?
No.
With Elijah Wood?
I do not.
Sounds familiar.
I have so many North references. How did you guys not see this movie? North is terrible, by the way.
I'm
highly recommend
that's
seeing
probably
it.
Why I have garbage. Seen it.
And he did Mitch's favorite movie, 2007's The Bucket List.
Yes.
Which you make fun of all the time. That movie's a 7.4 on IMDb.
Why?
We need to review The Bucket List.
No, that's we don't. What, no. I was saying. What is need in there? No, no one needs.
Reviewing the, putting The Bucket List as an episode on this podcast is on my bucket list. Check and mate. Kathy Bates still crushing it. Richard Jewell just got nominated for some Oscars that came out in 2019. And she was in it. She was in The Highwaymen, the Netflix movie with Kevin Costner. Woody Harrelson as Highwaymen in that one.
She got nominated for Richard Jewell.
I believe so, yes. American Horror Story, how many seasons? Yeah, you can tell me.
Oh, man.
So she started in season three
so
with
many
Coven.
Seasons, mm-hmm. yes.
And Coven was probably her best turn, although she's pretty fantastic in all of them.
Okay.
She's fantastic in everything.
I was about to say, what's your favorite? I mean, you've seen her in. What is your favorite?
You're the crushing off baby.
So much.
I love the, in this movie, wait, I don't think
Titanic?
A lot of people.
Well, here, let me go through all our movies and you can pick your favorite out of the list here. How about that?
Waterboy?
Yeah. So
Amasid.
Dolores Claiborne.
Amasid.
Another Stephen King adaptation. She loves her Christmas movies, Bad Santa 2 and Fred Claus. So she's got those covered. Waterboy, Titanic, the terrible Diabolique remake. She was also in North. I have a lot of North references coming up. And Fried Green Tomatoes is obviously a classic. And in 2018, she was in On the Basis of Sex, the movie.
See, you left out my favorite movie that she's in.
Which one?
Primary Colors.
Primary Colors is a classic also, yes.
Which is a...
I didn't read every single...
Yeah, which was a kind of a sort of weird take on the Bill Clinton campaign. She's one of the highlights in it. It's John Travolta as sort of a Bill Clinton-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
But she is fantastic in it.
You like that better than Fried Green Tomatoes? Come on, that's a classic.
I mean, it's like her. That's my favorite performance from her. I think.
Interesting.
She was
Waterboy number two. That number.
As a proud Louisianian, yeah. Waterboy.
What about her turn? What about her turn as Joe in The Office?
Oh, she was great in that.
She's great
too.
In The Office.
She's got it all. She's a great actress.
There's very little.
She's
that
so good.
There's. I've never seen Kathy Bates on a show. Maybe I would. Annie Wilkes, Kathy Bates.
Are you crushing on Kathy Bates?
Maybe. Jesus.
All right.
Yeah. I don't think there's a bad thing I've seen her in, honestly.
Okay. You're going to Annie Wilkes, Kathy Bates. So that's something. The other actor in this is James Caan. You might remember him as Sonny Corleone from The Godfather.
Yep.
He's in Thief, the futuristic, everything in the 70s was futuristic, Bloodsport movie Rollerball. He was in Brian's Song, Go Bears, although he dies in that. he was the
Spoilers.
He was the dad in Elf.
That's right.
Right? And then he was in Eraser. He was in North Star. It was so close. I had to put it in there. He's been in some interesting movies recently. In 2014, he was in a movie called Pregoland. Not Legoland.
I heard
Pregoland. He was in Sicilian Vampire. So maybe he's reprising his Sonny Corleone role. And Undercover Grandpa. Which is something. I also need to give a shout out the agent of James Caan's character is played by Lauren Bacall, who is one of the all-time great actresses ever. So she was in a movie called North, but it was Mr. North. And these were all within a few years of each other. And lastly, Mitch, I know you were a huge fan of her in one of her last roles as a voice in 2008's Scooby-Doo and the Goblin King. Mm. So you know that Texas Podcast Massacre all-time alumni Matthew Lillard definitely did some voice acting with her. So there you go. How much of the trivia do you want me to get into on this?
Man, I know there's a lot. Give us some tidbits and then we can work some of the other stuff in.
Well, speaking of child murder.
Oh, lovely.
Annie Wilkes.
the sweetest taboo.
Annie Wilkes was roughly based on Jeannie. G-E-N-E-N-E. Jeannie. The worst way to spell that of all time. Sure. Jones. Who is responsible for up to 60 infant and child deaths under her care as a licensed vocational nurse during the 70s and 80s.
That's so sad.
So there's that. And she was roughly based on that character, which took place in Kerrville, Texas. Looked it up, 30 minutes from Fredericksburg.
Yeah, I know where Kerrville is.
Yikes. It is kind of out of the middle of nowhere, but yeah, there's that.
Horrible.
I did mention that Stephen King, he didn't want Misery to be made. For a while, but Rob Reiner did so well with Stand By Me that he's like, all right, I'll give you a shot. A lot of the reasons that he wrote Misery, Stevie King, is that he had a lot of substance abuse issues that are fairly well documented.
Yeah.
And so does Annie Wilkes, in the movie. So there's that. And then she was in Dolores Claiborne, another famous Stevie King book. At one point, Misery was almost turned into a play that would have starred Julia Roberts.
Really?
And then Stevie's like, nah, not a Julia Roberts fan.
That would... Well,
I mean, compared to Kathy Bates, what are you going to do? I mean, come on.
I also love Julia Roberts, but this is not her role. This is...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine her anyone else playing
She's
her
too...
role.
Yeah, I can't. She wouldn't fit.
Although Lizzie Kaplan, you know, is kind of, you know, she's a smaller kind of.
Lizzie
had nothing to do with
person.
That. I just, Julia Roberts is too bubbly to play Annie Wilkes.
Yeah, I don't know if she'd pull off like that sort of
Notting Hill to Misery.
That scene where she's like talking to him, like we were talking about when she first introduces the gun. Where she's like talking to no one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't see Julia Roberts pulling that one off the way.
Okay.
Kathy Bates did.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of autobiographical stuff, you know, with Paul Sheldon and him, you know, the typewriter, he's the same typewriter he used to use, same publisher, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So there's a lot of inside writing stuff that Stephen King had done that was thrown in the movie. So pretty cool. I could go on and on about a lot of this. There were a lot of different people who were going to play either of these characters and did not end up doing it. And I think it ended up working out pretty well.
Who else did they have for the author?
So I'm on IMDb right now just because I need to check the actual people list. According to William Goldman, who worked on the film, the role of Paul Sheldon was offered to Warren Beatty, Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Richard Dreyfuss, Harrison Ford, Morgan Freeman, Mel Gibson, Gene Hackman, Dustin Hoffman, William Hurt twice, Kevin Kline, Al Pacino, Robert Redford, Denzel Washington, and Bruce Willis.
I could see almost that entire list except for Denzel and Bruce Willis. Most of those would have fit, though. I mean, James Caan did a great job, though.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad list.
James Caan's usually a little bit more of a kinetic actor, and this one he's laid up for the vast majority of filming.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So there's that. Yeah. There's a lot more on this. There's a lot, you know, Rob Reiner has extensively talked about this movie. This is one of his classic ones.
I'm sure.
One of the people that would have been interesting, tell me this. Instead of Kathy Bates, what about Bette Midler?
I could have seen her.
I could have seen Bette Midler.
She could do it.
Way better on the singing parts in the film.
I think she's the one. I know there was one actress, who was talking about getting offered the role, and she said she turned it down because she thought it was too like gruesome or gory or violent.
Yeah.
And she goes, wow, what a terrible decision.
That was dumb.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that was Bette Midler that said that, but maybe I could be someone.
Yeah.
Else, but.
Well, you better bet she did not. She regretted that decision. Yeah. So yeah, there's so much that we'll get into it. One of the things I need to point out, end credits, Misery the Pig, played by herself.
Of course.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah.
The pig was a cameo. It wasn't playing a role. The pig was itself. Huh. There you go.
There's no one else that could have filled that role.
Exactly.
So Lisa, this is your first time seeing it all the way through now. You know, I mean, you knew of this of the main scene, but so overall first thoughts.
Really good. I thought it was really well done. I think for a movie that is as hyped up as it is, you know, it lived up to it. I wasn't disappointed like I have been with some other classics.
Yeah. Now, you've seen a lot of classic Stephen King fare. I mean, it's relatively new, but it's still one of the prime Stephen King books.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you just haven't really seen Pet Sematary, but you saw Children of the Corn. You know, we've seen a number of Stephen King.
Shawshank.
Yep. Where does Misery stack up to all the Stephen Kings? Like Carrie, you know, where does Stephen King?
We've done so many Stephen Kings. Podcast.
No. You have to.
And the Stevesance is
burgeoning.
Trademark.
The Stevening.
The Steven. So we've done Children of the Corn, It, Gerald's Game. We just did Dr. Sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing both It's.
Yep.
We've done so many of his movies.
Yeah,
where does this fall?
Where would you put this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's towards the top. I think it was really well done, but I honestly think of all the Stephen King ones I've seen, I don't think I've seen one I didn't like. And I think maybe that's a testament to his storytelling that they're so good. Because, I mean, a lot of movies don't translate well from books, but I'm trying to think back to all the ones I didn't do Pet Sematary, obviously, but I think I did most of the others that
you haven't
guys
seen
did.
A lot of the TV.
Yeah,
movies.
You haven't seen a lot of the 90s Stephen
no,
King. Yeah, watch
it.
Thinner.
Whoa, how dare you? I'll put it on the list right now. How dare you besmirch
Thinner?
Maybe
rewatch that fucking movie.
Well, we're watching the Thinner sure.
So maybe I'm lucky, but everything that I've seen, I'm like,
Tommyknockers, The Shining TV movie.
Yeah, it used to be.
There's
so,
a lot.
So okay. It used to be of kind of thought that the more Stephen King had to do with a particular production, the worse it was.
100%.
Because he was trying too hard to really pull more of the book stuff and not really thinking about what works better in not really changing it for the medium.
Well, and if you read his books, his books are so full of detail that you just can't cram all that into a movie. There's no way. No.
I say, to me, this is, of all the movies, of all the things we've seen, and even ones we haven't done episodes on yet, Nate, I'd say this is, Misery is number two. I think...
The Shining is number one?
The Shining is number one, because it is such a masterpiece of a film. But this is number two in terms of, like, this shit is terrifying, and it's not supernatural. It's not any
That's
sort of...
That's why I like it.
There's no native Indian burial ground.
Which she goes to the well a lot. Also, in the tall grass, yikes. Well, that was a recent Stephen King.
Yeah, but that's him and his son. I don't know how much of him and
about
his
Maximum Overdrive, which he directed.
Hey, fuck you. I love Maximum Overdrive.
That movie's garbage.
You're garbage.
That's a bad movie. I do like that. You know, the supernatural is becoming less and less appealing to me in movies.
Yeah.
It is much scarier when it's like, this is the lady. This is happening. This could happen.
Anywhere, yeah.
Lisa rolls up to insert female comedian's house here.
Matthew McConaughey.
And it is happening.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, my God.
He's driving his Lincoln. And it goes off the road.
Oh,
and,
hell, we could hang out.
No. This is what happens.
Go to some basketball games.
This is what happens.
Oh, man.
This is what happens.
I've been remiss in my choosing.
Well, now you can change it anytime.
Definitely McConaughey.
Okay, so what happens is this. So Lisa is, you know, McConaughey's fallen off Bevo partying after
yes,
after UT wins a football game somewhere. She like is stalking him, whisks him off in her car somewhere in Austin, and then they show, all right.
See, but here's the thing with McConaughey. He'd be chill with it. He'd be like, all right, man.
No. But what happens is every time that you ask him something and he says yes, you don't do it. It's like, do you want your food? And he says yes, and you don't do anything. But when he's like, do you want your food? And he goes, all right. Then you give it to him. You're making him say catchphrases.
Hook 'em horns.
Exactly.
Baby.
Every that would be terrifying.
Oh.
Yeah. Hence why this movie is number two. I mean, so Nate, if you had to organize, if you had to pick your top five Stephen King
adaptations. Wow. The Shining is probably up there.
Shining. Do you want to get sued?
The Shining. there's so many good movies. I tend to like the older ones a little bit more.
Sure.
Salem's Lot would the
would that
70s,
crack your top five?
It probably would maybe crack my top five.
Okay.
There's so many good ones.
See, I think I'd go The Shining. I'd go Misery.
Misery's my top five also.
Yeah, easily. I'd go Misery.
Easily.
I think
does Shawshank count? Is it horror movies? Or
I'll take, I mean, no, it's fine.
Shawshank. Well, Shawshank just goes to the top then.
Shawshank is my number one Stephen King.
That's amazing.
I'd put that three for me.
Wow. Okay. That's 100% number one for me.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I like Shawshank.
I've seen more than any other Stephen King movie.
It's not like that I don't like Shawshank, but it's not like, to me, it's not the best.
Andy Dufresne.
Either you get walking or you get dying.
Shawshank's number one for me.
So what's The Shining's your number one.
Shining.
Then Misery, then Shawshank.
Misery.
Then what?
Then I think I would do It Chapter One.
Chapter One was very good.
It's so good. Now maybe there's some recency bias in there, so maybe. And then I think Carrie would round up my five.
Oh, that's very good.
Okay.
I think in my top five, I would replace Salem's Lot with, I really liked The Mist.
The remake of it?
Yeah. No.
TV show?
No, not the TV show. The movie.
Oh, gosh.
With Tom Jane.
I take it back. That TV show is awful. We didn't even get through it all.
The Mist movie is amazingly good.
Wasn't that
everyone hated the ending, and I thought the ending was
wasn't
great.
That's the one you didn't like, Lisa.
But also Under the Dome, wasn't that his too?
Oh, you were thinking Under the Dome. Yeah, that's Stephen King.
I'm thinking both. They didn't miss the Mist. It didn't have a TV show. It was just a movie.
No, that one was just
no.
A
the
movie.
Mist had a TV show.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah.
You're talking about the movie, the one that Frank Darabont from Walking Dead.
Yes.
Did.
The one that has a very controversial ending.
It's the one where they escape.
Did I see it?
Yeah, because
they're in the grocery store and it's foggy and all the monsters have come out.
Mm.
And they're trying to like figure out if they need to stay there.
I see this how good it is. I don't remember.
Okay. One is great. I love that one quite a bit.
It is certainly a crazy ending. Yeah, I mean, well, okay, we're not talking about that movie, but yes, agreed.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would make my top five.
Might have to do a Stevie King month at some point.
A month? You could do a
what do we
King
have
year.
Left?
Stephen King year. We could just do a podcast that's just Stephen King adaptions and be good for years.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into this movie.
So, yeah, where do you want to start with this?
So James Caan is a writer. He writes, what would be the equivalent of these movies? Or these books, I mean. So Misery is whatever. It's like he's got this kind of franchise that he's milking multiple books into it. Is there anything that you could think of? I don't read as much like fiction books anymore. We were talking about this before the podcast.
Yeah.
Is there something current that's like a series that would be similar to this? Is this like the Hunger Games?
I was going to say it's probably closer to Harry Potter. Is it closer
to Harry Potter? Okay. Like a B Harry Potter.
Because then she's like, I want to do something different.
Like they're popular, but like they're not well regarded by critics.
Oh no, because I think critics.
Yeah, the Misery books.
No, yeah,
in this movie, you know, what is Paul Sheldon like? Who? What kind of books here? You know, what's the real world equivalent here?
It's Twilight.
Is this Twilight-ish?
Maybe
not quite as popular, but like a Twilight-y kind of deal.
Okay. This is Twilight, some sort of romance kind of thing. No. Yeah. Did you see the covers of any of the novels in the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, they're straight up like almost romance novels, I feel like.
Okay. Twilight. Twilight.
Which interesting is. Though, because I never knew until I watched the movie that it's called Misery because his main character is called Misery. And I was like, oh, I thought it was just Misery because he's miserable because of Kathy Bates.
It's almost like a
double
meaning. Uh-huh.
So that was interesting. They're like, oh yeah, the Misery novels. I was like, what are they talking about? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to just get straight into him getting, you know, waking up in Andy Wilkes' bed?
Well, he has. So he's.
We start with the most egregiously, thing of the whole movie? How are you going to order a bottle of Dom and then only drink one glass and leave the rest?
Because I don't give a fuck.
Oh my gosh. I was like, you wasted a good bottle of Dom. Come on.
Well, he only has the one cigarette,
the one glass.
Yeah, you can't purchase one cigarette by itself. He's wasting the cigarette pack. If you want to really get into him on this
one. Did this start a whole slew of authors not just having one freaking printed copy of their entire novel?
Yeah, make copies. That's a bare minimum.
I think now people just save it to the cloud.
Do something, but don't have that thing be here. Two books to get destroyed in this movie. And it made me sad both times because I was like, no, not a book.
Not a book.
Not a book.
The real tragedy.
The guy's legs getting shattered. The book. No.
The real misery is I can't read this book.
Exactly.
Because let me put it to you this way.
Imagine there's a fifth Twilight book or whatever.
God. Well, imagine there's an eighth Harry Potter book and then it gets burned.
We already went over this one time. I read a bootleg Harry Potter book. Thought it was great. Wait, did we talk about this?
What the hell are you talking about?
In college.
Oh my gosh.
I was on the internet on a torrent site.
Wait, you mean you read like fan fiction?
And I downloaded a book.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's what he means.
Like, this is a leaked copy of, you know.
Deathly Hallows.
It wasn't. No, it was like the one before that.
No, oh, Half-Blood Prince?
Yes. And I was reading it. I'm like, oh, they kind of changed some of the stuff. This is interesting. I read a decent amount. I was like, but by the time I knew it was not there, but I'm like, this is, I just finished it. I read the whole thing. It was great.
Do you get confused now in your head as to what's the actual book and what's this
which
one?
Is the one where they have sex? Which is the one where they don't?
They read fan fiction erotica.
It was classy. No, it wasn't. It wasn't like that.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of the Secret Passwords. The saved words.
For heaven's sake.
Yikes. So anyway, there's an eighth and probably a 5,000th Harry Potter book if you want to go.
Oh,
to that,
I'm sure there's a category. Million. Fan fiction ones.
Yeah.
But if you got J.K. Rowling in a room and I told her sit down and write what happens to Harry after the seventh book and then I got burned.
She's like, No, you have to go to this website. And
how dare you, you muggle.
Exactly. Oh my God. Anyway. Okay. So is this guy not used to driving? Cause he's in New York City. How are we attributing this?
In a blizzard.
But he's also from New York. I bet he does not drive ever.
period, and then in a blizzard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is just bad.
Like, who the hell? Not even the people that live there driving the blizzard.
This seems like a call car service kind of guy. I don't know what also, he's doing driving.
Why'd the guy at the hotel just let him drive and not give him?
That's what I was just about to ask. If he must have known it was coming, he's like, okay, bye. I mean, come on, stop the man. Be like, you know what? I think you should stay one more night in.
That's the whole point of locals. Right at this point in time, the local, this is what the locals hang their hat on. I know the weather, I know the roads, and I want to tell these outside people that I know this crap.
It's not as if he was staying at this lodge for the first time. The guy said he literally comes for every novel, and when he's done, he orders his champagne and a cigarette. So he knew he was done.
Yeah,
that's that. He should be charged with
what they do is this is what they do to save money. He only drinks one glass. When they go up to his room, they grab the rest and they just pour it into and they just recap a new bottle.
And sell it to other people?
No, and sell it to him again next year.
It's so flat.
It's just one bottle. He doesn't care.
They shake it up before they bring it back.
Yeah, they shake it.
Also,
they shake it up.
I know.
They use a soda,
soda stream. Exactly. They soda stream the champagne.
I know we're skipping all over the place
here. Who cares? That's Missouri. Go watch it.
Where the hell in this town are you just getting bottles of Dom? He was like, Annie, I'm almost done. Go get the Dom.
Yeah, where? Yeah,
they're just cases of Dom in this tiny town.
I think it's the same bottle. I think she went
the same bottle.
She got the same.
There's a community bottle of Dom Perignon.
I think that's what she clearly knows. The hotel he stayed at. She stole the bottle. Anyway, so he falls down. Blah blah blah. Kathy Bates saves him. It becomes escalates increasingly gross. From you saved my life. To hey, when are you going to call the cops? Like,
you're a psychopath.
Oh, you went into town. Oh, that's cool. Maybe you should notify someone so I can go to a hospital. And then what were some of the terrifying things here, Lisa, that it escalates, right? What were some of the points where you were like, oh, shit.
The horrible thing for him is just you can't move because his legs were shattered.
Yeah, his legs were bad.
So, I mean, he's at the mercy of this psycho. He can't do anything.
I mean, she runs in. You know, at the ending of the book he wrote, yelling at him, breaking shit right next to him.
He was,
giving him drugs way too often.
It was nuts.
There's the gun.
The biggest pig I've ever seen in my life comes in.
That pig is crushing it.
Slams up on his bed.
The pig is crushing it. Mitch, what about you? What are some of the points in the movie where you're just like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, I mean, the violent mood swings don't help. I mean, he's let's be real. He's taking this like a champ the whole time.
Yeah. Was unconscious for weeks.
Phones are down. Cool. I get it. It was a bad storm. You know, I mean, he's being nice.
He was very trusting at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
He wasn't like, oh, I've woken up in this lady's house and I'm in panic alert. No, he was pretty sweet about it. I think it was just, the crazy mood swing at the very beginning, you know?
Yeah.
You could just tell. It was so well done. Such a great scene.
And she has so many idiosyncrasies. She doesn't like cussing. She reads his manuscript and burns his book of the only copy. Mm. Never tell Merv Griffith you only have one copy of your book. Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. And then she burns his book. Lisa,
it was bad.
The biggest horror thing.
I was so sad.
Also,
for him.
She burns on a grill inside.
Well, I was gonna say it's very clear Annie has never used that grill.
No ventilation.
You absolutely
whatsoever.
You need to cover it and leave the hole open. So.
How did she get this house? I think
it's her family ranch. I think
she killed somebody to get this.
Well, they said it was the family ranch.
She inherited it from her parents that she murdered.
They said it was the Wilkes
ranch. That's what I'm saying.
How
did she get? I think she killed her parents.
She murdered her parents.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, once they went to hospice, because she did let some elderly folk die under her care as well as babies.
Yep.
So Nate, let me flip it on the other side because there's not that many characters in this whole movie.
No, there's not.
But two of my favorites were the sheriff and his wife.
They're great. Oh, you mean the sheriff and his deputy?
They are friggin' hilarious. Oh my gosh.
That song makes sense for this movie.
Best cop in a movie ever?
Well, there's a quote where he says, when we're in this car, you're my deputy, not my wife. Which is one of the all-time great cop quotes in the history of cinema, as far as I'm concerned. This is one of the best cops.
To me, when they're having the conversation and she's on the phone, and she's like, I don't know where he is. He's probably having an affair. And then he comes back and he's like, it's so-and-so wants to know who you're having an affair with.
Yeah.
And then she opens the bag and she's like, well, I guess whoever she is, she likes books.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is like a B movie Francis McDormand from Fargo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not quite that good, but pretty just generally solid.
He's pretty competent though.
I could have done without the reading montages. Personally, this guy's really reading a lot of books.
That's how he gets the book.
I know,
that
but
attributes to Annie.
It's how many millions of books are you going to read from this guy? I guess there's not a whole lot to do. Well, they got a phone call and they go, "Oh, it's a busy morning." See, I got one phone call, so I guess he's got all kinds of.
That was the
time.
Interesting thing about the Misery novels is he read them to kind of get in the guy's head and he got addicted.
Yes,
he's like, "Hold on." Misery's about to go to trial. I have to find out what happens next.
Oh, yeah. that was good, too.
I liked that.
This is one of the better cops. I truthfully want
a spinoff just of them solving random small-town crimes.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Too late now.
Well, too late. A little late for
as
Lenny.
As soon as he went to the house, I told Mitch, I was like, why did he go alone?
So this
is the dumbest move he's made the whole movie.
Yes. It was the Brightburn. Brightburn did a similar thing.
Yeah. I never know why people feel like they can confront psychos on their own.
Well, you're small town, you know, whatever. But yeah, if you assume a kidnapping, maybe
take somebody with you.
You got it. Although his deputy's his wife, so
maybe. What? Take your wife. She could have hit Kathy Bates a lot earlier.
Isn't there another town nearby he can like?
Yeah, like let's call for some.
Wasn't
backup.
There like a whole press conference when they found the car?
Yeah, they left because they thought he was
like.
Dead.
What happens if like they get struck down with the flu?
So how long was Paul Sheldon under Annie Wilkes? I'm putting in quotes.
A long time.
So yeah, months. They're all gone. It's months.
Because
his leg heals and then gets.
Well, there's a whole writing montage where like all the seasons change.
Maybe
like
even a whole year. I don't know.
I don't know if it was that quite that long. But I mean, it was months.
Think about how long most like typical leg injuries take to.
Yeah,
and he's not rehabbing. You know, he's just
his rehabbing is like escaping and then not
think
escaping.
About how long
and then
it
rushing
takes
back.
To write a whole novel.
Yeah.
He wrote a whole other Misery novel.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It was a long time.
Now, let's get into the hobbling scene because...
No, thank you.
So, essentially,
Let's get into the fact that James Caan was the smartest hostage I've seen in a movie.
He was up there, yes.
Because he played to her. He played to it. He's like, oh, no, Annie, this is great. Like, most people, like, fight it, and I'm like, you got to play their mind games back at them.
What would Misery do?
Exactly.
But no,
he did a great job.
He was escaping while she was gone in town, getting him a typewriter, getting him the wrong paper
Those
type.
Those scenes were so painful to watch.
Yeah, yeah, he was escaping and then he has to like sweat and rush back. And then she catches him and she hobbles him. That's the nicest way to say sledgehammer to the ankle. And they show the first foot and it bends real far. Don't show the second one, but you get the gist.
Mitch,
and that's a rough one.
What were you saying happened at was it the premiere or the screening or whatever when James Caan told Rob Reiner when he saw the scene?
Oh, yeah. He just looks at him because apparently I guess they hadn't seen the edited, what it looked like. And he just looks at him and goes, you're one sick fuck.
And he was good. And then I guess, so then the cop is figuring it out months later, essentially.
Yeah.
So this is Rob Reiner's Hitchcock. He said he watched every Hitchcock film before doing this movie to kind of get some of the tension and the.
Interesting.
You know, movie. Yeah. This is more of an old style movie minus the hobbling. It's mainly dialogue. It's taking place in mostly one location with some side cop characters. That's a really standard kind of trope.
Yeah.
But this is the psycho, but instead of the knife. It's a shotgun to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the same move. Is this up the stairs and everything? Like, it's just, yep, this is exactly the same. And the cop
was tragic.
The cop gets done dirty and he figured it out, but he also got shot in the back. So yep, he made the mistake. He went in by himself. And that's the classic mistake. Now do you just want to get to the end here? I mean,
it sounds like we're almost there.
James Caan plays into everything. She says, you know, after she murders the cop, she's like, all right, well, murder suicide time. Let's do this.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not done my book. It'll be done shortly. Totally. He had tried to drug her earlier in the film, but it did not work. Yeah. She spilled.
Yeah.
Clutch. Did she know?
No, I don't think she did. Think not so? That time. Now, then she suspected him later. That was in the early.
That was early.
The early phase, but it was less gun murder suicide talk.
She was still disillusioned by him.
Yeah, and so he sets up, and there's this fight scene. I mean, this is the closest thing to They Live that we've seen in a while. This is kind of They Live-esque. You got eye gouge. You got fist to, like, palm to face. You got wrist bite, hair grab, multiple typewriter shots to heads, pig statue hits to the head. There's all kinds of stuff. Tackling, multiple rollings.
Yeah. I think Ari Aster is the only one sitting here going, I could use more head damage, more head trauma.
I know. Any particular fight part stand out to you, Lisa? The fight, it's a visceral fight at the end.
Tell them the part you're thinking of. Well, I know why you're laughing.
There's one part that stands out for me, Nate. I know you didn't ask me first, but.
Well, I knew you had one. I figured I'd get Lisa. Okay,
yeah,
first,
well, Lisa, what part stands out to you?
There's so much. He gets kicked in the crotch.
Most when fights start, I can't watch.
Really? Oh, interesting.
It was intense. It was
a knockout, drag down fight.
And this is why Kathy Bates makes sense. Kathy Bates, you know, Kathy Bates could tackle you. You know what I mean? Julia Roberts. Imagine that. Imagine Julia Roberts there. You're like, wow, thanks for like slightly running into me like a breeze and falling down.
Right.
Like, you know, Kathy Bates can lay.
Well, yeah,
out.
That's even at the beginning when he is in the accident, she like just.
He pulls him out of the car.
Just
him
up deadlift. Just straight up.
Yeah. Oh man. There was one scene. I never caught it until I rewatched it. But
yeah.
There is the scene where, you know, she does the, you know, she gets tripped on his like broke ass legs and she just falls and her head hits the typewriter.
The second time. And a pig statue multiple times.
Well, I think this is before the pig statue.
This is before the pig statue.
Well, no, that's when she dies is what you're talking about.
No.
This part is when she thinks she's died before she jumps back.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So she falls over. Well, when it happens, so production-wise, obviously they're not going to have Kathy Bates actually fall and hit her head.
No, of course not.
They have a dummy. That's fine. No worries. It goes fast enough you can't tell. Except that they leave the frame on for they leave the shot on for an extra few frames.
So yeah, and you're just like, that's totally a dummy. I did notice it.
It is so laughably bad.
It is
bad
like they took the mask from Sleepaway Camp and put it on a dummy. Because it's just. Yeah.
It looks like more like a pinata of Kathy Bates than it does an actual replica. Hold on,
let me write down my Cinco de Mayo party ideas here.
Oh, there you go. You can have a pinata, but it's Paul's ankles.
Oh, man.
And have everyone dressed like Annie.
Yeah, wow. Nurse outfits.
Oh, God. But the fight, I mean, and, you know, especially too, because a lot of these horror movies have like the fight where they're trying to get away from the villain. There's a big thing. You know, Scream has one that's pretty kind of famous.
Yep.
This one is one of the more realistic.
It's a wrestling match.
Yeah, it's knockout, drag
out. It's a wrestling match until you can get something to hit someone with. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Which is why it was They Live-esque to me. I said that typewriter's got great carriage return on the head bounce at the end. Annie does not make it. She dies via typewriter, which is, as an aspiring writer, the way to go, right?
So
I mean, you know, there you go.
He dies. How the hell does he get help? He still can't walk. Does he wheelchair himself all the way to town?
Well, maybe the deputy finally showed up.
Maybe the deputy. I'm also thinking maybe he made it to the police car and used the radio.
He probably could. Well, after resting a little bit, Jesus, that would have been taxing.
No.
And then his legs are exploded.
That's fun. You have to take a rest with two dead bodies in the house.
Then you go 18 months later and he's walking with a cane. That's not. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Could have been like a leg
amputation kind of deal. And then he wrote a book, or his book that he wanted to write, he eventually wrote later, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren Bacall's like, hey, you want to write like a memoir about this so we can get rich?
He's like, no,
even more.
Fuck you.
He's like, all right, I'm getting the accolades now. I don't need to go into the tawdry tabloid kind of deal. Person walks up, He's like, oh, I'm your number one fan again. And he envisions it as Annie Wilkes.
He's like, you're so sweet. For
this is why I didn't walk up to Robert.
You know, Eggers. Good for him for
like,
not having.
He imagines like there's
you
somebody.
You weren't going to try and kill the man.
But he might seen it.
Here's the thing. I mean, that waitress is lucky that he didn't have like PTSD and didn't just start like grabbing a knife and just going.
Yeah,
like,
he just like damn, he just pulls like, a pistol out. Just like peace.
Yeah, like I can't do that again. You know? Yeah. That's probably what Robert Eggers would have done had Nate approached.
That's what I'm thinking.
Just mace him.
You know what though, Nate? What if everyone thinks like you and no one ever goes up to him and now he's sad because he thinks he has no fans?
He knows he's
there are people that went up to him.
Come on.
Were there?
There were some people.
There's always, anyone who's been in a, like, you know, I remember not so much me, but you know, when you're in a band or you're around like other like main headliners and you're all that, and you just sitting behind a merch booth, you hear other people go and approach like other, like actual like bands and tour, you know, that tour and all that. And it's comical. Some of the things that people think to say to them, like,
yes.
Oh yeah, man, you got to check out one of them. I remember there's always someone who will inevitably ask some other band like, oh, you need to check out my music, man. I think we've got the next big sound and we'd love to go on tour with y'all.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, and the movie equivalent, I'm sure Robert Eggers is like, oh yeah, man, I also have a film where I did it. I did use handy cams. And it's all in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all stored on the thumb drive.
It's not even using black and white. It's in sepia.
They're all using.
See,
they're all using Nokias.
Just a genuine. Hey, I love your stuff.
Like your movies are real good.
Yeah,
There's a cool way to go talk to people, and because again, yeah, you're right. They are normal. They are people.
People.
But
well, it's not like Robert Eggers is like he's not Keanu Reeves. He's just like some dude. Just like hey.
Yeah.
Like, he's like a dude who's really, he's like, yeah, I just watched a lot of German.
He's a dude who's really into like old German
I got a lens from 100 years ago and I just wanted to film it like because it looked cool.
He's just a giant nerd.
That dude totally is.
Yeah.
He seemed cool. Anyway, so that's the movie.
Nate's never going to live that down.
That's the movie. So, yeah, I guess. So I think we all liked it. Can we agree on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to do a new segment for 2020 here.
All right.
Oh no.
And Lisa
two types of responses.
And Lisa touched on this, but I have a new category, and this film fits it perfectly. But the new category is called Incompetent.
I am the law.
We need to rate and review this cop's work performance here. Okay. Where are you ranking this guy, Lisa? So it sounds like high, but
he's high.
We need
on
to
my
get
list.
It. We need to get into it.
I think the only thing he did wrong was not take backup with him.
What do you think about the nepotism in the department?
I'm okay with it. Who else wants to be deputy?
No one else has been passed over for a job. That's the difference.
So it's not nepotism. He's not like, his wife is his deputy.
Right. It's just, I need to fill
maybe
the position.
Maybe they met on the job.
Yeah, she could be
maybe
very.
Maybe she was the deputy. And that's how they met.
She could be qualified on her own merits.
Okay. Bam.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right.
You're welcome.
I got taken there. Okay. Yeah. So that bumps his score up.
Oh yeah!
Right. Okay. That bumps the score.
I think he's a great cop.
He's willing to put in the reading time. He also got obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, look, good material is good material.
That's true. Okay, and then he, you know, he was dogged in his belief. I thought he was taking it real slow. This is like it's a Fargo. It's real slow, real methodical, just asking questions, checking everybody out. You know, that kind of a deal, but very thorough.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, this is one of the better cops.
He did a really good job.
This is one of the better cops in a horror film.
And he didn't give up.
Yeah,
he wasn't like,
months.
The guy's dead.
That's true. Okay, this could be a top cop.
He is. Is
that the end of the year? We have a top cop award?
He's a top cop.
Well, okay, this is a top cop nominee early in the year here.
Oh.
Grizzled. He wasn't that. He was grizzly. Grizzlish. What state is this in? Is this Colorado? What is this? Colorado?
Colorado,
it was Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay, right? Okay.
Yeah, because they mentioned Denver.
Okay. He's in like a small mountain Colorado town.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's kind of crushing it a little
This one to that other movie we just watched with Sir Davos. Let Us Pray.
Wow, that was a different.
They are like bottom of the totem pole.
Oh, yeah. Horrible cops. We had the worst cops.
I feel like we've just seen the worst cops of the year and the best cops of the year.
We went worst the first for 2020.
We've now set the spectrum.
Yeah, that's true.
They're the two bars.
Except the cops were on the lower end more than this guy's on the high end. This guy is on the higher end for sure. I mean, it's not the Amityville cops. Like, well, we knocked on their door once. Peace. Like that's the level of copping in Amityville Horror.
Right.
I mean, you know, the cops in Halloween are just like, Loomis is just like, a madman's on the loose. And they're just like, okay, we'll drive around. You know, like there's different levels.
Have you notified the neighborhood watch, sir?
Yes. Okay. So you're saying this is a top cop nominee.
Is it definitely
the fact that he got shot in the back? He refused the teacup of poison. So smart move there.
Yeah.
Because it was clearly poisoned.
Yeah.
He refused that. He took a little walk around, you know, nonchalantly, not bad. Did a little, you know, look around to see where she was and moved around the house. That was good. Got shot in the back, though. That does hurt his score.
I'm telling you, he didn't bring backup. That's my one knock against him.
That hurt his score for me.
Yeah.
That dropped him down. But I think we say solid
runner for top cop.
Medium to high level cop.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this could be a runaway category here. I feel like throughout
we'll
the year, the cops are gonna be not performing.
I can't imagine.
A high bar.
Yeah, this is a high bar. Okay.
All right. Well, I don't. Do you have another segment? Or?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I do.
I didn't want to cut you off too early.
Yes. Now we're in 20.
Are we just doing more segments because this is Misery and you want to put me in Misery? Is that way?
We're very meta right now.
Yeah.
So
Lisa's actually laid up in a bed.
Yeah.
Can't move.
Damn.
I've been put on bed rest.
Like, where's the countries? Or while we're doing the countries, like, where's the drugs to get you on the drip? Maybe you'll feel better about doing this. Okay. So we're getting more of an international audience, right?
Okay.
And the segment we had last year was the Wheel of Genres, right? But this year, I want to add a little international flavor to each of our films and do the Wheel of Countries, in which we integrate part of a country or a part of a country's national identity into the movie we've done to make it a better movie.
I love you, Americans. What great taste you have.
That sound good, Lisa?
Let's try it and see.
I'm
skeptical.
Okay. So there is random.country/?, which I am on now. And let me hit the next
Who
random
Who the heck programmed that?
I don't know. But we're doing Spain.
Oh, I like it.
So we're doing Spain.
Bonjour.
So clearly.
Bonjour, Spain.
He's not getting caught in a blizzard in Spain.
Yeah.
So how running is the he, bulls. So how is he getting caught?
Running of the bulls.
But the running of the bulls are so many spectators. He wouldn't be able. He wouldn't be.
They run. He breaks past the barricade and it chases them away from the crowd.
I feel like that would be on camera. That'd be on TV somehow. No.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. How would you? Maybe they just miss that he's busted through.
Like, what if instead of having a cigarette and a champagne, like the way he keeps himself alive enough to come up with a plan is there's like a huge tapas thing. Like so many courses of tapas.
He's like, I need my stuffed olives.
Exactly.
Then I need my cheese.
She's cooking for 2 days.
Then I need my jamon.
She's cooking for 2 days enough where he can come up with a plan.
I always get one flamenco dancer.
Exactly. And if we want to get the running of the bulls in along with that, he sets up the typewriter, right? Or some sort of stabby thing. She comes at him and he does a Toro move. That's how she runs her head into the typewriter. Mm.
I like it.
Spain.
Viva España.
It could be a rock slide. Spain could have a rock slide too. Mm-hmm. This.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Spain. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
so I like it.
The tapas course is extending out his life.
I really like that. Yeah. Damn it, Nate. Now I just want tapas.
I'm so sorry.
We had some amazing tapas in Spain. Oh, So good.
Well, yeah, you guys, I mean, yeah, what's a local Spain thing that you could add to this movie?
El Tigre.
Ooh.
That's where he gets caught, is El Tigre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
El Tigre is a tapas bar.
Yeah.
It's very small hole in the wall, but it is delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good.
What other local thing could, I don't know.
I think we made the movie better.
I think
by adding the rock slide is equivalent to the snow, so that's
Spanish
easy.
Spanish tourism board will be very happy with this.
Yes.
Visit Spain today.
It's like, stay alive longer. Tapas?
Tapas?
Question mark? Okay.
Upside down question mark, Nate, come on.
Yeah. question mark it's both, but
and
you know,
he needs
to get in the front.
Didn't you have the was it Madrid that had the national whiskey?
Oh yes, Madrid had it. There was a national Spanish whiskey.
Okay, mm-hmm. There you go, and that's yeah, he's got to have that with the tapas, yeah. Obviously. Right?
Obviously.
Okay, there you go.
He could order the trip of beef, which is supposed to be tripe, but is not spelled tripe. It's spelled
trip. It was
trip.
A typo.
And
then we got three.
Maybe he got confused and thought he was just getting a whole bunch of different beef cuts.
Oh my gosh.
And it was tripe.
You ate it.
I did eat it.
It was good.
You're assuming that this world-renowned author is making the same mistakes you're making. I don't know about that.
I definitely
What are you trying to suggest there?
I was just saying. All right. Okay. So he's got to have the national whiskey. He's got the tapas. All right. Yeah. I like this quite a bit.
All right. Yeah. How do you say misery in Spanish, Lisa?
I have no idea.
I don't even know. I don't know. Well, I don't even know. Lisa would know much more.
Miseria.
Sure. Miseria. Miseria. That's not it.
But it sounds good though. I mean,
Miserario. Sure.
All right. Well, listen, I think we're at the end where we need to talk about our final cut.
Final cut.
During the drop, we confirmed that I was correct. It is Miseria.
Wow.
So
marrying into that Spanish blood, starting to seep in.
Yeah. Yep.
Every si. Day, a little more.
See.
Si. Wow. Si. Es muy bueno.
Your son already counts half in Spanish. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
You killed it so fast, Mitch.
I did.
All the goodwill just went away almost instantaneously.
Lisa, what are you giving this movie for your final cut?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Seems high from what you've been talking
about.
Yeah,
it is high. I just don't know how high.
Redman, Method Man? Seems like a good... How high the movie? How high?
I don't know what you're
That's a classic.
About.
That's a classic film.
You say everything is a classic.
Method Man, Red Man, smoking weed in the Ivy Leagues.
I think you're high. I think I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10 typewriters.
Nice.
Seen a letter.
Okay.
It's very good. Acting by all of it, not just Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates, James Caan, the sheriff, and his wife all did fantastic jobs. The scenery was very beautiful. Did they film on location in Colorado? I don't know.
Or I have to look. Gorgeous. I don't know.
There's something about he lives in Maine, but he's got a lot of Colorado stuff, like from The Shining. And
sure,
this
maybe just yeah. like going to Colorado.
Maybe he
is
went
Colorado
on
the Maine
there,
of the
right?
West. Is that where we're? It's Maine West.
I don't know.
Dreary and yeah
Maine West.
I feel like things are either in Maine or they're in Colorado for him. But yeah, it was very well done. Kathy Bates definitely deserved the Oscar.
Yep.
She did a fantastic.
She was fantastic. All of her really little sayings, dirty birdie, you know, yeah. these little kind of like.
What was the what's 1950s there was she said when things would break? She's like, oh, it was a what? She's
Heavens
like,
to Betsy got said quite a few times.
I like yeah. that one, but there was like, it's a jubile. What I can't remember.
What?
She says something funny when like they made a mess. She was like, oh, this is just a jubile. I don't remember yeah, what it was.
She like mispronounced certain words. The Dom Perignon.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
get some Dom Perignon.
She, you know, is not cultured. She said, "Help me, help you."
Yeah,
which is classic. I don't know. That's where that came from.
I really did just enjoy how excited she was. I mean, her genuine like, oh, does she finally get with Ian or does she? It's like, oh, to find out. Oh, I can't. I mean, her excitement and getting
her fangirling.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Yeah, and then she was like, oh, I'm going to throw away this, like you've worked on this book already, but I'm going to throw it away because the beginning doesn't make sense. Like that was
well, and he because he curses a lot.
And yeah. Well, no, it was the
other
book.
That was the other book where he curses.
Came,
but
she came back to life in a way that was cheating. So then she's like, "Oh, you can't use that." Yeah. I was like, "Dang, this is crazy." She's one of the first continuity nerds.
Yes.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm just gonna throw this out there. Maybe George R. R. Martin needs this in his life to help him get through. God. Maybe he just needs someone to like.
Yikes!
I'm not gonna say break his ankles, but maybe he just.
Okay, but
this guy's more frail.
But listen to me.
He's got a lot more frail.
George R. R. Martin would have milked it for all it's worth. He would have been like, "I'm fine. I'll stay in bed. It's all good."
Probably would just talk to him about the history of the dire wolves.
They would have let him go. Yeah.
Just get out of here.
Yeah, it's
why
would have been like, "Oh, are you almost done? No. So I'm on
17
this
prequels
side story." Yeah,
exactly.
Like, get out.
I wrote the history of 17 families lead up to the battle that happened before all the books.
It's like every week he comes up with a new book, but it's some other ancient family.
Exactly.
From Essos that no one cares about.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So for me, I am giving this 9 out of 10 Navrals.
Navrals.
Which nice. Are the knockoff Advil. This movie is so great. It's rewatchable. Everyone is top notch. The only reason why there weren't more Academy Awards given for this movie is because it's horror. And it's just, horror movies are very, it's very difficult for one to win. So the fact that A, there was a lot of nominations, and then B, that Kathy Bates won it is a testament to just how awesome of a film this is.
Yeah, I mean, there's only been, horror movies kind of peaked in the early 90s in terms of that. I mean, yeah, Silence of the Lambs and Misery kind of back-to-back years actually getting Oscars.
Yeah.
And then
really kind of helping put horrors mainstream versus it being the B.
Yes, exactly. The B movie, and then there was a gap for the 2000s. We're not.
Because of Dracula 2000 specifically.
That movie's great.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give it an 8 out of 10 Rob Reiner cameos. He was the helicopter pilot with the awesome mustache. So got the cameo in his own movie.
He Tarantino'd it.
This movie's good. Well, he Hitchcocked it. Got to get that cameo in. Hitchcock always had this cameo every single movie.
No.
Rob Reiner did. This movie's great. The fact that Rob Reiner did this and then did A Few Good Men after this and had done like Princess Bride and When Harry Met Sally before this, that's versatile.
Yeah.
That's a lot of different genres getting hit. Rom-com, straight comedy. This is a horror movie. A Few Good Men is like a tense military thriller. I mean, this is hitting all the. This is the prime of Rob Reiner.
I mean, I know Stephen King wrote this, but you think he got the idea for some of the imagery for when he has Wesley being tortured in Princess Bride with the water wheel? It's
like, and then the giant rats turn into a giant pig.
That was
and
Misery.
Here we go. Yes, I love it. I love it. If Paul rolls down the hill just like the car rolls down the cliff.
If Paul had said As You Wish once, I mean, it would have been total. I mean, yeah.
It was perfect. Yes. Yeah. It was really good. And this movie was kind of early meta, actually. There was a lot of meta things happening in there where he's like kind of riffing off other things. He makes like side comments about the current things of the time. I think he even pokes fun at himself or Stephen King a tiny bit in the movie as well.
Yeah.
So, great film. Go watch it.
Yep.
If you have Showtime and you're already Mr. Rich, Ms. Rich over there, you got a whole deputy sheriff thing going. You got a lot of money. You got Showtime. Check it out there. If not, you have to rent it like the rest of us. It's got to get my Showtime dig in at the very end of the episode.
So if you like sports and you haven't cut the cable on your sports package.
Exactly. That's probably it.
All right. Well, listen, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Nate, where can they find us?
You can find us on Twitter at TXPodMasker. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, put a movie in there. Maybe put a hashtag Team Basement, hashtag Free Lisa. Right? Is that what you want? Is it Free Lisa? What's the official hashtag for?
Yeah, hashtag Free Lisa.
Free Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Felisa?
No, Free Lisa.
Okay, Free Lisa. Okay. It's only 8 letters. That's pretty short. Make sure to put that in there. Put a movie on there. We'll put it on the list. We have our schedule still getting formed for this year But we do have some openings. So if you want to give us a five-star review, we'll put your movie on there. The results of the year-end survey are in, and we will be announcing the movie next week. So keep your ears peeled for that. You can check us out, as always, on all your podcast platforms. Check us out on or on YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere else. And thanks for being our, what, do we say number two fans? Number one fan, I feel like, is a really bad connotation. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
There we go. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yep. So as they just said, thank you so much for tuning in from all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre. And just keep telling yourself, it's only a movie. Good night.